Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly, in the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right, Paul, I mentioned earlier in the show that Antonio Brown, where was this? What was this with Ryan Clark?
The Pivot Podcast.
The Pivot Podcast had some interesting things to say about how him and does he want him and Ben and Le'Veon to go into the Hall of Fame altogether? I don't think that's going to happen, much as he might want it to. In fact, it's not going to happen. What else did he say?
You don't think it's AB is going to get to the Hall of Fame?
No. I think he should.
I think he will.
I don't.
I think he'll
tell you why. I'll tell you why. Speaking, we had this long talk earlier, Paul, about baseball writers keeping deserving players out of the Hall of Fame based on the morals clause.
Right.
I never knew this. This was before you and I started doing these shows together. I had Gary Myers on from the New York Daily News.
Okay.
He's a voter for the Football Hall of Fame, and he basically said, without meaning to, that there's a character clause in the Football Hall of Fame. And I always thought it was strictly, and this is what made it good and right, strictly what you did on the field between the lines, between the whistles. That's it.
And I thought that that's how it was explained, too.
Listen to this. Myers, I brought up Antonio Brown with him. This was like 6 months ago, somewhere around there, maybe a little sooner than that. And he referenced T.O. And he told me this. He said, the case of Terrell Owens was fascinating. It took him till the third year to get in. I can tell you unequivocally, Myers said, the reason he didn't get in the first 2 years is because the guy was a knucklehead and a locker room destroyer and was always ripping his quarterback. Myers goes on to say, and the Hall of Fame, and this kind of surprised me, he said, they asked us to differentiate between what Owens did on the field and what he did in the locker room, which is different than Lawrence Taylor off the field having a cocaine problem. And they said, this is Gary Myers, a voter talking, the Hall of Fame said, quote, the locker room is an extension of the playing field, so we could absolutely consider how Owens conducted himself in the locker room. I had never heard that before.
That's the only time I've ever heard that.
And he said that will extend to Antonio Brown, which is why I don't think Antonio Brown's going to get in.
But he got in his third year.
T.O. did, right?
Yeah, so I mean, right. So it might delay it, but I think eventually he'll get in. Although, I will say this.
I think they're going to consider that way worse than what T.O., anything T.O. did.
The running off the field with the Tampa with his shirt off.
Yeah.
That image will not leave a lot of voters'
I know.
Heads.
That's what I'm saying. Which was, I mean, essentially he said that there is a character clause. That's the way I took that. What else do we have AB saying here? Limitless wonder.
He was talking about how great the Steeler culture was and somewhat how he took for granted the amount of people, the quality of people that were in the locker room.
You know, championship culture is about, you know, it is the growth for the game, that, you know, you never know, you know, the players. The game never changes, it's just the players. Players like myself, Ben, Le'Veon, special players, you know, Martavis Bryant, different players that just pouncy, you know what I mean? It's Ramon Foster, Marcus Gilbert, you know what I mean? David DeCastro, you know what I'm saying? A lot of us get the glory from being in those great positions of receiving the ball and, you know, being in those intangibles, but the camaraderie of the brotherhood of, you know what I'm saying, going to work, the meetings, the walkthroughs, the belief, you know what I'm saying, the journey. And those things, what, you know what I mean, make football worth it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like The media could show the little things, but the journey with your brothers, training camp, getting bloody every day and preparing for long years and having that success and coming to a team where it's like Ryan Clark and great defenders with Polamalu, Ike Taylor, you know what I'm saying? So many, you know what I mean? Lawrence Timmons.
Yeah.
So it was like, man, just to be a part of so much, you know, so much greatness and to witness it and to be in that locker room in 2010 as a rookie going to the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? Those moments live with you.
That just makes me sad. And the names that he mentioned, I go back and look at the 17 Steelers and I see Ben in his prime with 28 touchdowns and Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown and Juju. They had a three-headed monster going back to Juju's rookie year, especially. What a waste.
Yeah.
What a waste of an all. That's an all-time talented offense in Steeler history.
Absolutely.
It's up there with the best of the 70s.
Absolutely. We've said that how many times looking at that?
It just makes you sick.
Right. It really does.
And then they go out and lose to Blake Blanken-Bortles on their home field that year. What are we doing? They lost twice to him.
That's ridiculous.
And I understand. I think that was the year of the Shazier injury. But it's still Blake Bortles. You can't find a way around Blake Bortles in the playoff game? Come on. You give up 45 points, and Ben, for all his numbers in that game, was awful and helped put them in a hole by giving them an interception deep in Steeler territory and then fumbling away a ball that got picked up and returned for a touchdown. I'm glad he threw for 900 yards
right
after that. But
that was the thing. There was the Blake Bortles game to me is the game that probably...
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door. In as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Because I think that team, that was the one time I thought that team has what it takes to go maybe to win, to beat New England the next week.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, they play New England, you know, Brady's going to, you know, remember Brady had some absurd, obscene numbers against the Steelers, like ridiculous. And it was like, if you're going to beat this, if you're going to beat Brady, you know what I mean? Back when that team was still rolling and Brady was rolling, you had to score points. I thought that team, the Steeler team, and I never thought they were going to get dragged by Jacksonville the way they did.
214 yards, a 94 rating, a touchdown, and no picks for blank any swear word you can think of, Bortles. Come on. That team again had Ben, Le'Veon, A.B., Vance McDonald, a pretty good tight end, Martavis Bryant, and Juju. And Juju. And by the time they got going in that game, it was way too late. It was 28-7 with 2 minutes left in the half. So anybody who thinks, oh, they scored, that offense still scored 42, they stunk.
And not just that. What was the final score? 45-30?
45-42.
Right. It was 45-35. And
the defense was horrendous.
It was 45-35. And if I'm not mistaken, the Steelers scored on the last play of the game. It was really...
Which was an unbelievable sight to witness.
Yeah.
When you're down by 10, to have Tomlin not go for a field goal and an onside kick.
Right.
How do you go to the last play of the game? Not that that cost them the game, but what are we doing? Anybody who's ever played Madden knows you got to kick the field goal and then go onside city limits, right?
So we did in the Madden tournament or the college football tournament that we did.
Let's throw a touchdown with 1 second left instead of kicking a field goal and trying an onside kick. When here's the real kicker here, pun intended. They scored on what was essentially a Hail Mary at the end of the half when Ben threw it up to Martavis.
Right.
They had Martavis, Juju, Antonio Brown. They had Hail Mary threats all over the place. How do you not kick a field goal with like 30 seconds left and then an onside kick?
Right.
How in the world do you go to the last play of the game?
Poor management.
I know that didn't cost him the game. I can hear Ed Bouchette yelling at me because we had an argument the next day.
But But it didn't. You didn't give yourself the best chance to win the game.
Or any chance at the end.
And I always say to people, would you rather score a touchdown with no time on the clock when you're losing by 10, or would you rather kick a field goal with 10 seconds left so you can at least have one maybe shot
in
a Hail Mary?
You have to do that.
I don't get it.
There's no other choice.
There's no 10-point play.
Oh, and yes, the defense was just god-awful. They kept cutting it to a touchdown in the second half. It was 28-21, then Leonard Fournette, part of like a long drive. Then it's 35-28, and somebody named Tommy Bohannon catches a pass from Blake Bortles. Then it's 42-35, and let him go right down the field for Josh Lambeau. What a disaster. All right, let's go to Tex in the city. Did we do what's cooking? Did we do the 50-minute mark? Yes.
Yes, we did.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com, high of 93 today with cloudy skies. I don't even remember, was I doing the show with Mulsey or Ron at that point? I don't remember.
I remember that game.
Steelers were a 7-point favorite.
What was the first touchdown? Was that a pick six?
What was that, City Limits?
That was the computer making a sound before this.
Somebody. Oh, I like that. I don't remember, Paul.
I just remember there was a pick six, and then there maybe was another interception. There was the fumble that was returned. I just remember it was a disaster.
Both teams reached the over on their own. The over-under for the game was 40.5 points. How many times do both teams get the over on their own? That can't happen often, does it? Paul? Paul?
Probably doesn't. I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to think of... it doesn't happen probably almost never.
How many times in history has it happened in
probably
a playoff game?
Probably almost never. That's the thing, because they're usually not that far off with the over-under. That's what I mean.
Wonder Twin? The over-under was 40.5, and both teams got it on their own. That's incrinculent.
Yeah, that's pretty unreal.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think of like playoff games where everyone thought it was going to be really low scoring, and it turned into that.
What about the joke that was that Cleveland playoff game? Did both teams get the over in that one?
I would have to agree. What was the final on that one?
That was the Pouncey snapping the ball over Ben's head to start the game.
Did both teams get over 40?
Let me see the box score here. It was 48-37. The over under was 47. So no, both teams didn't get it.
No.
They didn't get that one. We have a hell of a pitching duel going on here, don't we, Paul?
Yeah, Michael A. Taylor's playing defense out there in center.
I mean, he caught a fly ball right to him. Yeah, how about a hit once a month? Chase Claypool had a touchdown in that game? He had two! If I would have told you that Chase Claypool had two touchdown catches in the playoff loss to Cleveland, would you have believed me?
No.
Paul?
I didn't even think Chase Claypool had any playoff touchdowns.
That's another one where Tomlin factored in. They're down 42-29 with tons of time left, and he doesn't go for it on a fourth down. I think it might have even been right around the 50. So he gives the ball back to the Browns.
That's
oh, my
right.
God. Remember that one?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that.
If either one of you can name the other... Chase Claypool had two touchdown catches, okay?
That could be a problem.
James Conner had a run.
He got it.
Eric and...
Eric Ebron.
Nah, that was going to be my trivia question. All right, who had the other touchdown pass from Ben? Paul? In the playoff loss to Cleveland, Claypool had two touchdown catches. Eric Ebron had a touchdown catch. Who had the last one? Or the other one?
Jesse James.
Vance McDonald.
Juju.
I forgot all about him.
Give us a couple texts. You read them. We rank them 1 to 10. Please, City Limits.
There's not many, but one
we don't need many. We're almost to the end of the show.
Said, Willie Mays, how about this? I showed this on the Sportsnet broadcast. Willie Mays had an OPS of over 1,100 off of Steve Blass in his career.
Steve Blass told me that Willie Mays beat him to the bag one time on his first at-bat against him.
Wow.
That's wild.
I just saw Steve Blass on the broadcast here.
You know what's kind of interesting? I'm going to look at some of the really highest scoring games now tomorrow when I come back. I'm going to see if I can come up with, because that's an interesting thing. Both teams were over the total.
Yeah.
For the entire game.
One more Wonder Boy. That one sucked.
Yeah, there's not a lot of spectacular texts that came in for Texts in the City today, but Greg says if Braxton Ashcraft continues to prove he's a good starting pitcher in AAA, they should call him up ASAP. That's his name, Joe.
You got to be careful with that name. It could go any one of a number of ways. Yeah, why not? I don't care who pitches that game. As long as it's somebody
anyone.
I don't want to go back to the bullpen games. Maybe Ortiz.
We were also told we did the quiz show totally wrong today.
Why is that?
By the texters.
Why is that?
I don't care what they said. It was a good segment. It was fun.
Why did we do it wrong?
Well, because we had all three of us with Bob in here continuing to try to guess. And it's supposed to be if you get it wrong, then no point.
No, that's wrong. I've done the quiz show for many, many years. You get to keep half the fun is keeping guessing.
Somebody else said Joe should get a free bowl of soup with that hat.
You like the UB bucket hat?
Joe, can you fix the monitor, please?
Here's another Baldwin Baseball still looking for a coach. Come on, Joe.
Did I break it?
Joe?
No, is that broken?
Joe?
No, you moved it. It's moved. Can you straighten it out again, please? Never mind. I got it.
The show's over. We don't need to do any adjusting. Can you plug in that
That's
plug?
For Pony. It needs to be adjusted for Pony.
What was the last text?
Somebody asked you to be the high school baseball coach at my alma mater.
Where's that?
Baldwin.
Okay. I'll coach Baldwin baseball. Yeah.
All right, great. I'll let the athletic director know.
I'll consult with Shelty.
You'll get your lineup decisions.
Use all the wrong pinch hitters and everything else.
We have the girls basketball coach from Baldwin in the building.
How do you use the bullpen?
Who's that?
Jamal.
Oh, yeah, Jamal. That's right.
We call him Jammin' Jamal because he's from Whammo.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye-bye.